This message is brought to you in part by the First Philippine Seventh-day Adventist Church of New Jersey.
Our great God and loving Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you said, you will never leave us nor forsake us. And we claim that promise, Lord, even at this very moment. Thank you for that message. You have used Christian, Lord, to touch us in a special way. And our prayer this morning is that you may be in our midst. And we know, Lord, you will be in our midst to speak to us, and that we may open our hearts and our minds, so that whatever you have prepared for us will transform us in such a way that indeed we'll be the disciples that you have called us to be. To reach out to the souls that are dying, that they may be brought to the feet of Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you, dear Lord. You have been patient with us. We know we don't deserve your mercy and your grace, but you bestow them to us anyway because you are a God of agape love. You are love. And so, dear Lord, as we desire to proceed to listen to your word, please use this earthen vessel in a humble capacity that the message you have prepared will reach our hearts in a special way, that when we leave this place, we will not be the same. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. So the title of our sermon or the message this morning is The Whistleblowers. Actually, it's the whistleblower of Jesus Christ. And we as Christians were supposed to be the whistleblowers of the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. And there should be no excuse. And we, like Paul, should stand up and speak with Paul those words in Romans chapter 1 verse 18. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. To those who believe. To the Jews first, and then to the Greeks. And so this morning, as the Lord has impressed upon my heart to share with you so many things, yet I will only share just a few, at least, what He has heavily impressed upon me. And in many past months, we are aware, or if we are not, at least perhaps we have heard somehow, somewhere, that this country has been in the position where so many whistleblowers are coming out of their caves and would stand for the truth as they know it. Because, as we perhaps agree in one point, and perhaps we really should agree, even Jesus Christ himself said in John chapter 8 verse 36, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But what is a whistleblower? And who is a whistleblower? So that I will be more equipped to define what a whistleblower is, at least I took from the webpage, and I will read before you. A whistleblower, according to the definition in Wikipedia, is the person who exposes misconduct, alleged dishonest or illegal activity occurring in an organization. The alleged misconduct may be classified in many ways. For example, a violation of the law, rule or regulation, or in a direct threat, or a direct threat to public interest, such as fraud, health and safety violations, and corruption. And it goes on to say, the whistleblowers may make their allegations internally, for example, to other people within the accused organization, or externally to regulators, law enforcement agencies, to media, or to groups concerned with the issues. So at least we have the definition of the whistleblower. Are we still we got it, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's get some names, and these are not names that were just made up. They are real. You've heard about Edward Snowden? He's an NSA. Let's see what Wikipedia. Suddenly he's in Wikipedia. There are several pages written about him, but I will touch just on the most important points. He's born in June 21, 1983. He's an American computer specialist, a former Central Intelligence Agency employee, and former National Security Agency contractor who disclosed top secret NSA documents to several media outlets, initiating the NSA leaks, which reveal operational details of a global surveillance apparatus run by the NSA and other members of the Five Eyes Alliance, along with numerous commercials and international partners. I believe he's now in Russia, right?
Yeah.
This leak, being a subject of controversy, I'm just picking up some things of those. Snowden has been variously called a hero, a whistleblower, a dissident, a traitor, and a patriot. Snowden's sole motive for leaking the documents was, in his words, to inform the public as to that which is done in their name and that which is done against them. The disclosures have fueled debates over mass surveillance, government secrecy, and the balance between national security and information. And although the tribunal ruled in favor of... not this one. Anyway. So this is Edward Snowden. I could read many more things, but there are still some whistleblowers that at least I wanted to share with you this morning. And I felt impressed to share them with you because I believe that this is the time when perhaps while we are in the midst of so many things that are going on, and perhaps we are caught up with so many issues of life, and we become unaware of the many vital issues that beset us, and they are in one way or another having influence in our lives and the place that we live. The next one I would like to share with you is Shiv Chopra. You heard the name? Shiv Chopra is a Canadian, actually he's an Indian, is Canadian microbiologist and human rights activist who was involved in one of the first major whistleblowing incidents in the Canadian public service. Chopra was also involved in the second systemic racial discrimination case in the Canadian public service when it was found by a Canadian human rights tribunal that his employer, Health Canada, Health Canada is the counterpart of our Food and Drugs Administration in the United States, had discriminated against him on the basis of his race. I will cite specifically on the whistleblowing incident, that's why he's called the whistleblower. In 1998 and 1999, Chopra, along with two co-workers, doctors Margaret Haydon and Gerard Lambert, testified to Canadian Senate Standing Committee on Agriculture and Forestry that they were pressured by senior supervisors to approve multiple drugs of questionable safety, including bovine growth hormone and Baytrian, which, in the words of Chopra, is even more controversial. It's a critical antibiotic, one that produces cross resistance against a critical antibiotic necessary for human use called ciprofloxacin. I don't know if ciprofloxacin. The medical practitioners, they are familiar with it. It's from the same class of drugs. When it is used in poultry, beef, turkey, pigs, or whatever, then it causes cross-resistance in the intestines of those animals. Then those bacteria, like Salmonella, you've heard of it perhaps, Campylobacter or E. coli, get transferred to people and cause disease and death of immense order. This is his whistleblowing. So whatever they do to animals, it affects the consumers, which is us. And prior to mad cow disease crisis in Canada, Chopra warned the government that the current handling of feed to cows was inadequate. Following this, Chopra, Hayden and Lambert and colleague Chris Basure complained to the Public Service Integrity Officer office, a federal investigative body under jurisdiction of Treasury Board of Canada, indicating again that they were pressured by the seniors to pass a number of veterinary drugs, including Tylosin, Revalor H, Synergistin injectable suspension, Baytril, RPST, Carbodex, Eugenol, without proof of human safety. The PSIO case was initially dismissed in 2003, but the ruling was appealed to the Federal Court of Canada. Eventually, he was fired from his job because of this whistleblowing. Then, we have one, I don't know if you have heard of her. This one is a former World Bank senior counsel. His name is Karen Hewitt. You heard the name?
Yeah.
You heard it. She's a graduate of Yale Law School and she worked in the legal department of World Bank for more than 20 years. As a senior counselor. he was in a unique position to see exactly how the global elite ruled the world. And the information that he is now revealing to the public is absolutely stunning. According to Eudes, the elite used a very tight core of financial institutions and mega corporations to dominate the planet. The goal is control. They want all of us enslaved to that. They want all of our governments enslaved to that. And they want all of our politicians addicted to huge financial contributions that they funnel into their campaigns. Since the elite also own all of the big media companies, the mainstream media never lets us in on the secret that there is something fundamentally wrong with the way that our system works. And this is not just a conspiracy theory. It's not just a chismis or gossip. This is a Yale-educated attorney that worked inside the World Bank for more than 2 decades, more than 20 years. And the following is the summary of her credentials, comes in the website. She worked in the U.S. Export-Import Bank of the U.S., and so on and so forth. But the main point is that she is trying very hard to expose corrupt financial systems that the global elite are using to control the wealth of the world. To sum it up, all the banks of the world are connected to that one, but they call it the Bank of International Settlements, which is located in Basel, Switzerland. And Philippines, during the time of Estrada, was not exempted from the corruption that took place. And when they found out that Estrada has something that was cooking in his mind, Japan, who was supposed to loan $250 million, did not release the loan, even the World Bank. And in her findings, she disclosed that all the big banks in the whole world, which are connected to that one bank, are all controlled by Jesuits. And if you will have time, I don't have much time to reveal to you. Go to the website, and she has a lot of interviews having been disclosing the corruption on a high level that this World Bank people are really involved, and the purpose was control. And we have our very own. Remember Ben Carson? Last year he spoke. He was asked about his position on the Obamacare. I'm not sharing these things so that I will influence you to something that's insidious or subversive, but just so we know that these people stand for their principles, and we as Seventh-day Adventists, I believe, are in a position where standing for the truth should be one of our principles. Ben Carson said that Obamacare, worst thing since slavery. And this is what it says. Retired pediatric neurosurgeon Dr. Benjamin Carson unleashed his strong attack yet on Obamacare, saying that President Barack Obama's signature domestic policy achievement was the worst thing that has happened in this nation since slavery. And this is what he said. It is slavery, in a way, because it is making all of us subservient to the government. Carson, who retired in May from the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in Baltimore, said at a speech at the Conservative Values Voter Summit in Washington, it was never about health care. It was about control. That's why when this administration took office, it didn't matter that the country was going off the cliff economically. All forces were directed toward getting legislation passed, Carson added, with his comments drawing much approbation from that event's 2,000 attendees. And the question, why did they want to pass it so badly, before answering with a comment from Vladimir Lenin. He said that the socialized medicine is the keystone to establishment of a socialist state. That's the problem. You see where we're getting, where we're trying to get to, where we're getting to with his own observation? In other words, continuing on, he said, it is the most valuable thing that we have. Carson said, referring to oneself, everything else pales into significance compared to your health, and that's the reason why your health should be controlled by you and not the government. And he segued into his Obamacare critic by saying, it's really time for the people, we the people of America, to stop being afraid of the government and put it in its place. Government plays a very important role when in fact it believes in the Constitution. That's the problem. When they begin to neglect the Constitution, when they begin to impose their own will. And hinting on President Obama's decision to delay portions of the healthcare law for big business, Carson said, continues, when they look at the laws of the land and they say, okay, I think I'll enforce this one. This one I want. When they begin to treat people differently. When they say that people in the executive branch and in the legislative branch don't have to participate in certain programs, but everybody else has to. That's not America. That's Russia. Carson said. How did we allow that to happen in this nation? See where we're going to? These are the whistleblowers of our century. And I don't know how much we are aware of as Seventh-day Adventist Christians, but for many perhaps it's just always business as usual. For instance, the Shiv Chopra, he exposed this, what they refer to as the evil corporation. The food that we eat has been corrupted with those foods which have this thing called genetically modified organisms. And when I was looking at the list, lo and behold, I discovered that even our ABC stores are selling foods that have GMOs. So I had the opportunity to email them. I got the email address of Greater New York Conference. They did not respond to me. I don't know why. And then I emailed the general headquarters. I told them about it. They did not respond to me. They just looks like even I cannot pass on judgment, you know. Maybe they're too busy with so many things that they really don't have much time for this. But this is important. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And he's employing so many different tactics to destroy humanity, to destroy God's people. That's why this leads us to our text for this morning, Ezekiel 33. Who is the watchman? Us. Let's see what the Lord says to the watchman. I will read from the Good News Translation, so it will come to us crystal clear. I know Sister Billie Jean read it already, but I was just impressed to look at the translation here, very direct. He says, "The Lord spoke to me, mortal man," he said, "tell your people what happens when I bring war to a land. The people of that country choose one of their number to be a lookout." So a lookout is a watchman, right? "When he sees the enemy approaching, he sounds the alarm to warn everyone. If someone hears it, but pays no attention and the enemy comes and kills him, then he is to blame for his own death. His death is his own fault because he paid no attention to the warning. If he had paid attention, he could have escaped. If, however, the lookout sees the enemy coming and does not sound the alarm, the enemy will come and kill those sinners. But I will hold the lookout responsible for their death. Now, mortal man, I am making you a lookout for the nation of Israel." Who is the mortal man? It's us. Why is it important to put mortal? You're mortal, that means you will die. There's an emphasis there. And what is your responsibility? When you see the danger coming and you don't warn your people, they will die, but you will die with them. "Now, mortal man, I am making you a lookout for the nation of Israel. You must pass on to them the warnings I give you. If I announce that an evil person is going to die, but you do not warn him to change his ways so that he can save his life, then he will die. He's still a sinner. And I will hold you responsible for his death. If you do warn an evil person and he doesn't stop sinning, he will die. He's still a sinner, but your life will be spared." And in one on, "Mortal man, repeat," in other words, if you have already heralded, or if you have already made the announcement of the impending danger that's coming, this is just God saying, repeat to the Israelites what they are saying. "We are burdened with our sins and the wrongs we have done. We are wasting away. How can we live?" And this is what the Lord says. "Tell them that as surely as I, the sovereign Lord, am the living God, I do not enjoy seeing sinners die." So who will tell them? If we will not tell them, they will die in their sins. And because we feel like, anyway, we have already that share of that heavenly place which Jesus Christ has prepared for us from the foundation of the world, we just sit down and enjoy being a Seventh-day Adventist or a Christian, but not warning the people of what's ahead, what lies ahead. That's why the question of the Lord is, I would rather see them stop sinning and live. You remember when the woman who was caught in adultery was left by all those who were supposed to stone her, when it's just her and Jesus and nobody else anymore? What did Jesus ask? Woman, where are thine accusers? What was her sin? What was she caught of? Adultery. Right? Where are thine accusers? Was she asking for forgiveness? But what did Jesus say? Neither do I condemn you. But did he stop there? Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. So we warn the people on the context of the way Jesus Christ would approach it if Jesus Christ were here, not to condemn, but with love and with intention to bring about reformation, to deliver the message. Please, I do not condemn. Go and sin no more. Because sin and righteousness cannot coexist. Either of the two shall end. But only sin shall end. Because the Bible says in Nahum, affliction shall not rise again the second time. Sin and sinners will not enjoy heaven. But still, as watchmen, it's our responsibility to warn them in love of the danger that is coming. Right? And so, my dear brothers and sisters, how much have we indeed appreciated the gospel of Jesus Christ? Maybe just enough to, but I cannot say. The Bible is saying judgment will first come where? At the house of God. Right? And if judgment comes to the house of God, what will it be for those who are outside the house of God? I'm just paraphrasing. I have not memorized the text. So in our conclusion, while we endeavor to be the real watchmen, the whistleblowers of our time in this world that is dying, in this perishing world, it's but fitting to remind us of the whole group of texts in Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God. The song of Christian, he left. Sorry. God has better plans for us. We cannot do it on our own. We need the grace of God. We need Jesus Christ. Let's go to Ephesians for our conclusion. Ephesians chapter 6, starting from verse 10. I will read before your hearing. And please, try to digest it as if Apostle Paul is speaking to you directly, not me. I'm just an earthen vessel. finally, my brethren, this is Paul speaking to us. Alright? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. Right? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Sometimes, many times, we become relaxed. And we think that because we are already in the correct religion, we have garnered enough strength already for ourselves. You kidding? Apostle, if there is anybody who has the authority to wake us up, it's Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul is waking us up now. He went through so many sufferings, even to the point of death. But all the time, he said, I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And he said, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This is Apostle Paul speaking to us now, in this time that the world is dying. But while we still have time, let's consider our ways. How are we going to stand? The life that we live, is it in harmony with the will of God? Or we're serving ourselves by the things that we do? We still enjoy the sin that is killing us. Danger. It's time to leave those things and put on the whole armor of God. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Right? We wrestle against principalities. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. What is the evil day? The evil day is when this world becomes the arena of what was referred to by Daniel as such as the world never had since the world began. The abomination of the desolation. When the persecution comes, they're controlling everything. They're controlling the bank, they're controlling the food, they're controlling the drugs, they're controlling everything. And when you're not prepared, and your practice has been to compromise, you will compromise. And we're just playing games here. It's time to consider our ways. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication, not just praying, but with all prayers and supplication, in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So my dear brothers and sisters, we don't have much time. there were so many scoffers in the past saying this persecution is not going to come. But many indications would speak to us, and perhaps some of us are in denial. When we are not ready, when we have not made ourselves ready like the five wise virgins, then the demarcation line will be drawn. It's either we are for God or we are against God. But for those who will stand up for Christ, there is a promise. Our last text, Revelation 21. The New Jerusalem. Then I, John, saw, this is talking about the new heaven and the new earth. I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. But it didn't end there. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these things, these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But warning, but the cowardly, how are we? It's difficult to be brave, you know. You need the grace of God to be brave, especially when that evil day comes. The cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So my dear brothers and sisters, take heed. The call is for me and for you and for all of us. There's no more time to play games. If we are indeed Christians, let's be Christian. Because a Christian is not afraid, is not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Right? And may we, on that day, stand up, and the Lord will say to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou in the joy of thy Lord. And this is my prayer. And may this be all our prayers. In Jesus' name. Amen.
For other resources like this, visit us online at www.ffsdanj.org.